You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Rumor Day, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of all things Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Wednesday evening, we finally have our first big NBA rumor of the offseason. That's according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, and Brian Windhorst of ESPN.com. Pressure mounting on the LA Lakers to complete a deal with the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs, to this point, have shown no inclination of wanting to do a deal, by the way, with the Lakers for Kawhi Leonard, and the implication being that if the Spurs and Lakers do not consummate that deal, that LeBron James may not be the inevitability that a lot of people around the league thought to sign with the Lakers this summer. We've been waiting for a rumor for a while, ever since the draft and leading up to the opt-in deadline, which is Friday at 11 p.m. Houston time for the likes of LeBron James, Paul George, DeAndre Jordan, and anyone else still remaining with player options for next year as the final year of their contracts. Do they want to enter free agency, which begins late Saturday night, or do they want to opt in, which of course is the preferred route via trade? That's what got Chris Paul to Houston last summer, and that's what the Rockets, if they make a marquee acquisition this summer, would be hoping for, because if you acquire one of these guys via trade, and not a sign-and-trade, I should say, a regular trade, then that's how the Rockets can bring someone in while not exposing themselves to a hard cap, which a hard salary cap would make it very difficult, if not impossible, to retain the likes of Chris Paul, Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, their existing free agents, for which the Rockets, whether they bring in a star or not, are almost certainly going to have to go into luxury tax territory to retain the core of the team that won 65 games this past year and got to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. As far as the ESPN story in particular, it's no surprise that it's 90% about LeBron James. Of course, there are trickle-down effects for Paul George and the remainder of the market, but LeBron, the best player in the game, maybe the best in the league's history, has to be the first domino to fall, and so his decision has ripple effects elsewhere, including here in Houston. And while there's no specific report tying LeBron to the Rockets or the Rockets as a fallback option for LeBron at this point, in my opinion, when you read between the lines, there are some things to be encouraged about if you're a fan of the Rockets and you want to see Houston as a viable destination over the next 48 hours or so. That's really all we have left, as I record this Wednesday night, before LeBron has to make up his mind on his player option by 11 p.m. Houston time Friday night. That's June 29th. So before we go too deep, I'm going to read you the lead from the Wojnarowski, Shelburne, and Windhorst story at ESPN.com. I strongly encourage you all to read the entire thing yourself, but for reference, here it is. As LeBron James remains hesitant to be the first superstar to decide on the LA Lakers in free agency, pressure is mounting for the Lakers front office to execute a trade with the San Antonio Spurs to acquire disgruntled All-NBA forward Kawhi Leonard. There's a race to secure Leonard before James is faced with deciding whether to become a free agent on Friday, especially with concern that Oklahoma City's Paul George is no longer assured of signing with the Lakers. All of this attributed to league sources. So first off, props to the three journalists at ESPN who got a great report. I'm assuming at least some of these league sources are from the LeBron James camp, which we've all been waiting to see what their move would be behind the scenes, and my guess is that this is putting pressure on the Lakers. My guess as to why they're doing it: in an ideal world, I think there have been enough signs by now that even if it's not all about basketball, which is what he said publicly, there is interest in the Lakers. And maybe some of it's lifestyle, maybe it's the entertainment ventures off the court, but this is a push. This is Camp LeBron prodding the Lakers to do something. And there have been too many signs, too much money this month to think that the Lakers aren't viable. I know that Houston is a better basketball fit. Now, granted, it's not like Houston has the cap room to where LeBron can just walk there the way he can to LA, so it's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. But regardless, I do think there is clear interest from LeBron James in the LA Lakers if the circumstances are right. There have been far too many signs to reject the Lakers outright. That said, what this story shows you is that there may be conditions to it. Now, it's possible if all of this fails, that it might just be a behind-the-scenes attempt to push the Lakers into action, and LeBron is so dead set on LA that even if he doesn't get his way, that maybe he still ultimately goes to the Lakers anyway. That's possible. However, I doubt it. My guess, the same way in 2014, and the same way that it's always been for LeBron James, 2010 as well, he wants to go to a place where there's at least one superstar already in place, if not more than that, because, yes, he cares about things off the court, but, folks, he spent the majority of his career in Cleveland. I know that's his home, but I just have a hard time seeing the nightlife and the entertainment elements of L.A. being that overwhelming to where even if there is no other star in the picture, that he wants to go there no matter what. This makes a lot more sense, which is that he would love L.A. if all things are equal, but with reports increasingly coming out throughout the month that Paul George is more open to staying in Oklahoma City than many people thought. Also, a neat anecdote later in the story that Paul George could re-sign to the Thunder or be evaluating other options, which presumably the Rockets could fit there as well. But again, I don't think the Paul George domino is going to fall until the LeBron James one does. But what's interesting about this, to me, more than anything else, is that if you take it at face value, LeBron, as it says in the first five words of the story, remains hesitant. He would like to do it under ideal circumstances, but where is that second star going to come from? The Spurs have hesitated to deal Kawhi there all offseason. The Lakers don't really have a ton of assets. They have decent ones. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma. You can put together a package based on those players, although I don't see really Lonzo Ball as a great fit in San Antonio. But guess what? So do teams like Boston and Philadelphia. Teams around the league have lots of young talent. And for all the talk that, well, would those teams give up their talent because Kawhi Leonard's a free agent in 2019, the obvious response would be, well, if the Lakers are going to spend their cap room this summer, then even if Leonard tells them, well, I'm not going to guarantee re-signing anywhere other than the Lakers, well, if the Lakers use their cap room, then why wouldn't you, if you're Boston or Philadelphia or someone else, call the bluff from Kawhi Leonard? Because if the Lakers use their cap room to get LeBron, how exactly is Kawhi Leonard going to get there? So because of that, I don't think the market around the league is as depressed for Kawhi Leonard as a lot of Lakers fans would like it to be. I think there's some pretty good offers, and that's why later in the story from ESPN, you hear that the Lakers have been open to adding salary, taking salary dumps, such as, say, a Ryan Anderson, although the Rockets would not participate. That's just a version of a guy who theoretically could be a salary dump. I certainly don't see the Rockets helping LeBron James get to Los Angeles for obvious reasons. But the Lakers, according to the story, are open to taking salary dumps if they can get draft picks for doing so, because then they would presumably flip those future first-round picks to San Antonio to make their trade package more likable than those from the likes of the Celtics, the Sixers, the Clippers, whoever else it may be. The really interesting subtext, though, to their desire to take on salary, assuming they can get a future first-round pick or two for doing so, is in the ripple effects on the Lakers' cap situation besides LeBron James. Because right now, the Lakers, as is, do not have two max salary slots. So all the dream scenarios you've seen thrown out in terms of LeBron plus Paul George, or even a few crazy ones, like instead of Chris Paul luring LeBron James to the Rockets, LeBron luring Chris Paul to the Lakers, which I've always found ridiculous, that would not only require the Lakers to keep what room they have now, they would have to clear even more cap room because they aren't even there yet. And to that end, the Lakers also submitted a qualifying offer to Julius Randle today, which further gives them a $12 million cap hold. Now, they can renounce it at a later date if they need that space, but it seems pretty clear that they do not have an imminent plan to use that. Furthermore, if the Lakers are going to use assets to get Kawhi Leonard, then it's not like they would then be able to get rid of the salary. They already have Luol Deng, which is an even worse contract than Ryan Anderson when you consider he's unplayable, making about $19 million a year, plus whoever the salary they would be taking from a bad salary from another team for the upside of getting a future first-round draft pick. So they'd be stuck with that salary. So if they do that deal, as rumored, even if it were possible, and we still have to wait and see whether the Spurs would actually deal with them, then it pretty much secures that this summer they have one max slot, and that's it. There's no Paul George. There's no Chris Paul. There's no DeMarcus Cousins. There's none of the other possibilities that have been thrown out there. And you're probably wondering, why would they give up all of this for Kawhi Leonard, especially coming off a quad injury that's chronic and cost him an entire year, instead of going after Paul George, who could be had without really giving up much in terms of assets. They just had to make a few moves to clear space and sign him via free agency. The answer pretty clearly seems to be that there's something to the reports that we've heard for weeks now that Paul George is not as much of a lock to the Lakers as everyone seemed to think, and that he may be leaning at this point towards re-signing in Oklahoma City or potentially other teams, as is mentioned in the ESPN article. And the reason this is a big thing is that it's a great reminder that you have to take these Lakers rumors with a grain of salt. I have said before, if I had a nickel for every insert superstar here is going to the Lakers when they're a free agent report over the last 5 years, really starting with Dwight Howard, I would be pretty rich. It is effectively the NBA's capital city. It's great for the league when the Lakers are viable. It's probably the most storied franchise in the history of the league. I think it's still clearly the biggest fan base. So you have many national media members openly cheerleading, if you listen to the Stephen A. Smith type reports, for the Lakers to win, to be relevant again, and certainly getting LeBron James would make them that. And I understand why. They're acting in their own self-interest. It's good for clicks. It's good for ratings. It's good for views. I understand that. But in terms of predicting player movement, we have heard over and over again all these stars supposedly interested in the Lakers, and for one reason or another, it doesn't work out. So for all the inevitability talk with Paul George has been out there for 12 months now, if that wasn't as far down the tracks as everyone thought, maybe these rumors in the past month about LeBron James and the Lakers aren't as far down the tracks as everyone thought. Because it would be much easier for the Lakers to build a contender around LeBron James and Paul George than LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. And as mentioned before, based on the assets they would have to give up, especially if they have to take a salary to get a future first-round pick to satisfy the Spurs, there's no way you're getting both of those guys. It's a lot cleaner if you sign Paul George because you can keep most of your young players. You don't have to take back more bad salary. You have more flexibility moving forward. You have a ton of young prospects who could conceivably get a lot better, especially playing around LeBron James. It's cleaner and easier for the Lakers to build a contender around LeBron and Paul George, and you don't have the injury questions. If they're moving on to LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, it's not because that's preferable. It's because they do not have a good feel for Paul George joining them. And if that's not true, well, A, it makes you wonder if the reports on LeBron James aren't as true as some of the aggregation sites would have you believe. And secondly, if the Lakers aren't the destination for LeBron, it opens up a lot of possibilities, the Rockets included. I know there have not been that many concrete links between LeBron and Houston for a little while, it feels like, in terms of the rumor mill, but there's almost been no links other than the Lakers. And if they're not as viable as we thought, you're seeing some hesitation from LeBron. That's hesitant, the word that Wojnarowski used. And it's understandable why, if LeBron wants to win a ring, then going to the Lakers without another star in an era of the Warriors with two MVPs and four All-Stars is really not that smart. Then that opens up a whole lot of possibilities elsewhere. Now, conceivably, that could be destinations other than just Houston. But because of the timetable of this, I'm more optimistic than some that Houston may be a very viable plan for LeBron James as we chat on Wednesday evening, just over 48 hours away from his opt-in deadline. More on that in just a moment. So we finished the first segment discussing the complications involving the LA Lakers, which have been seen as the favorite for LeBron James for some time. Now I want to move on to why I think the Rockets in particular, with just over 48 hours to go until the deadline, are still a viable destination, or a viable path for LeBron James. Now, even if he picks the Rockets, they'd still have to execute a trade between the Rockets and Cavaliers, or a third or fourth team, so it's not like LeBron can just snap his fingers and it's done. But LeBron's will means a whole heck of a lot. And if you can sell him on Houston, that to me is the hard part of it. LeBron himself and also his family, because clearly at this point, it seems that lifestyle and off-court factors are a little bit bigger than maybe we would have deduced just based on his public quotes. That said, as far as Wednesday's rumor mill story from ESPN, the interesting takeaway to me are the references to Friday. Because, second paragraph of the story, there's a race to secure Leonard before James is faced with deciding whether to become a free agent on Friday, especially with concern that Oklahoma City's Paul George is no longer assured of signing with the Lakers. The headline, pressure mounting on the Lakers to acquire Kawhi Leonard from the Spurs. Why is there that much pressure to where a deal, the Spurs, who we've heard may take it all the way to the trade deadline of this upcoming season with Leonard, to get a deal done within 48 hours, that's asking a lot. Why could they not wait a few more days? Especially if the options are just the Lakers going back to Cleveland, maybe the Sixers. All of these teams either have cap room in the Lakers' case to add LeBron. In the Cavs' case, they have bird rights. Or the Sixers, they're one easy move from cap room. So if those were the only viable destinations, LeBron wouldn't really care about Friday. In fact, the last time he was a free agent, had a big decision in July of 2014, he took until July 11th to make his decision. I mean, he really made a decision a couple of days before that, but LeBron James, historically, is not a guy who is quick to act. And the fact that he's the best player the game has ever seen, it's not like the Lakers are going to decide to sign someone else with that money. If LeBron James is viable, you're going to hang around. So, for LeBron's camp, and I believe that they sourced a lot of the story to ESPN, to go out of their way to mention Friday tells you that opting in is still a very viable scenario. If it were as simple as LeBron wants to opt out and he's probably going to the Lakers or someone else with cap room, Friday is insignificant. Now, a trade needs to get done sooner rather than later, but as far as getting it done within 48 hours, that's not a big deal. You can drag it into the first week of July, make sure all the ducks are in a row. The only reason Friday is important is if you are genuinely considering opting in to the final year and scenarios that would come with that. We've already seen a lot of players around the league make their decisions, so if it was as simple as LeBron just wanting to choose between teams with cap space, go on a few meetings, although we've heard he probably doesn't want that either, then Friday's insignificant. It needs to get done relatively quickly, but no reason to throw that kind of crazy timetable on it. To me, the use of Friday makes it very clear that there are opt-in and trade scenarios, and I would say the Rockets are one of the few teams where that would be the leading route to acquire him, again, because of the salary cap. If the Rockets do an opt-in and trade, the same way they did with Chris Paul last year, they will not be exposed to the hard cap, which means they'll have the resources to go into the luxury tax as planned to keep their current supporting cast together, the likes of Chris Paul, Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, the current free agents coming back from, or we hope coming back, from the team that won 65 games last year and took the Warriors to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Again, Friday is inconsequential unless you are legitimately considering opting in. Another thing to consider, we have heard both locally and nationally that as of Tuesday, the Rockets are still all in on LeBron James. That was the report from Sam Amick of USA Today, later confirmed by Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle Tuesday night, that the Rockets, after Monday night's awards, still very much in the market for LeBron James. They don't know where they stand. LeBron's camp has been very quiet throughout the process, although I'm sure there's been some communication between LeBron and Chris Paul, of course, godparents to each other's children. But there is such a thing as an opportunity cost, and we have seen in the past, Daryl Morey does not continue barking up the wrong tree if he believes there's no chance. Go back to July 2014, which I just mentioned a moment ago, the last LeBron James free agency. The Rockets had a meeting with Rich Paul, his agent, and the whole Clutch Sports family. They also met with Carmelo Anthony on July 2nd in Houston. Very quickly, after just a couple of days of free agency, the Rockets pivoted to Chris Bosh, who became their focus. It wasn't the Rockets wanted Chris Bosh more than LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony, it was that the Rockets got a sense of the market. They knew they were not at the forefront of the list for LeBron or Carmelo, and that Bosch was much more realistic, and they almost had him. Unfortunately, the Heat caved at the last hour, gave Bosch a five-year, $120 million deal, and we all knew how that fell apart and the trickle-down effects from there. But the Rockets moved on quickly from LeBron and Carmelo to Bosch, not because they thought Bosch was better, but because they understood that, hey, if we just wait around for LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, we might miss out on other avenues to upgrade our team. And as I've mentioned, LeBron James, while the Rockets would love to add him, maybe the best player in the history of the sport, that's not the only way the Rockets can upgrade. Of course, there's the taxpayer MLE, there's their own free agents, but aside from that, they can go after Paul George, they can target 2019 free agents, the likes of Minnesota's Jimmy Butler, to see if they can get out the same way Paul George did from Indiana this time a year ago. LeBron James, while he's at the top of the list, he's not the only guy on the list. So for the Rockets, in the final few days before free agency, now just 48 hours away from the deadline, I think you'd see the Rockets moving down the list if they had been given a clear no. The fact that they have not been given a clear no, it's noteworthy. It's significant. Again, there are no guarantees, but the fact that the Rockets are still pushing, again, an organization that in the past has shown a willingness to move on from star pursuits when they see the writing on the wall, for the LeBron James camp to leak Friday as a key day, the same Friday that effectively is the last day the Rockets could realistically land LeBron while keeping most of the current supporting cast together, that's a lot of coincidences. And suddenly the Lakers, who everyone assumed had some master plan lined up, now have the LA native and Paul George not even wrapped up, and apparently don't have a trade package nearly lucrative enough to San Antonio to get Kawhi Leonard, to the point where they're now rumoredly going after future first-round picks via taking salary dumps from other teams to try and entice their package for San Antonio. All of a sudden, the Lakers' inevitability doesn't seem to be there anymore. And what leaks we've heard, the Rockets still staying in, and Friday being important to LeBron James, it all points to a pathway that LeBron James could go to Houston. There are no guarantees. Even if you were to pick Houston, the Rockets and Cavs still have to work out a deal. And it's very possible that the Lakers could beat the Rockets to the punch. Maybe Magic Johnson has the so-called magic touch and can get the deal for Kawhi Leonard. Or maybe they can talk their way into LeBron James and Paul George, that duo again. They can have some behind-the-scenes conversations, LeBron and PG. There are no guarantees. I don't think the Rockets are a favorite by any stretch. What I do think is that the Rockets are in the game. And when you're talking about the greatest player in the game, maybe the greatest player ever, and now inside of 48 hours until the first deadline, really the deadline as far as the Rockets are concerned, to me, being in the conversation is about as much as you can ask for. Can they move a step closer? We're all waiting for the Woj bomb that could indicate the Rockets as a viable player. Stay tuned. I think it certainly won't drag out until late Friday night, because if LeBron were to pick the Rockets, there'd have to be a deal lined up, a trade, so you would at least have to give his team, the Cavaliers, the Rockets, some heads up before that deadline so they could come to an agreement. Otherwise, if he opts in, then he would just lose his leverage, and the Cavs could say, okay, you're under contract, come to camp with us. So realistically, not just LeBron deciding to opt in, but a trade to get him to wherever his destination is would need to happen by 11 Friday night, Houston time. So that's why I don't think you'll just hear a bomb at 10:59. They could probably come before that, and then you'd see if the teams can work together to find a mutually beneficial transaction that for the Cavaliers is better than watching LeBron leave for nothing. That's a lot of ifs, and it's very possible that the factors that have kind of pushed him to LA, maybe even if they don't get Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, maybe he's bluffing. He just wants LA so bad that he would still go there and worry about the rest later. Although, by the way, one of the worry about the rest scenarios that I've heard, that LeBron James could still go there the same way he went to Cleveland in 2014 and they didn't trade for Kevin Love until a month later, I think that angle is very, very overblown, because Cleveland in 2014 had the most valuable trade chip on the market. Andrew Wiggins, just drafted number one overall, the top young prospect in the game at the time. The guys in the Lakers, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, they're decent prospects, and although LeBron in particular, Lonzo, has some off-the-court issues that may depress his value, but none of them are anywhere close to a number one overall pick that has not been driven off the car yet. That is the kind of trade chip to where LeBron knew going to Cleveland that the Cavs had the ultimate trump card for Kevin Love or whatever star would be available because of Andrew Wiggins. The Lakers don't have that, as evidenced by the report today from ESPN that the Lakers are open to taking on salary dumps to get more future first-round picks because the players they have, while solid, the assets are not good enough. They need more. This is not the Cleveland scenario with Andrew Wiggins. Again, closing thoughts on this as we chat Wednesday evening. All of it could change quickly. Maybe the Lakers get the deal to secure LeBron's services. Maybe he chooses to go there anyway. Maybe he wants to go back to Cleveland or some other team that's not even on our radar. Not the Lakers, not the Cavs, not the Sixers, not the Rockets. Maybe there's somebody else we're not even looking at. I don't think the Rockets are our favorites. I don't think they're anywhere close to a lock. All I'm saying is that I think, as of Wednesday night, that they are in play. Stay tuned, and we'll see what happens throughout the day on Thursday and Friday. Last segment before we close out, we'll make this quick. We learned Wednesday night that the Rockets, courtesy of Mark Berman, want to give him credit for his scoop of Fox 26 here in Houston, have agreed to a deal with Mike D'Antoni, picking up the team option on his contract, which now runs through the 2019-2020 season. It's a big deal. Certainly Mike D'Antoni won Coach of the Year last year. I would argue should have won it this year for a team that won 65 games. It was expected to be nowhere near that good. The key takeaway to me from this announcement, which not coincidentally comes right before free agency, is that stability sells. 2016, say what you will about the Ryan Anderson contract, but at $80 million, he had other suitors. Eric Gordon, certainly a deal of 4 years, $52 million. It looks like a bargain at this point. He had other suitors. Nene, who signed for just a bargain rate, below $3 million, I believe, he definitely had other suitors that summer. Those things were made possible because James Harden signed his first extension. Then last summer, when they lured Chris Paul, one of the ultimate in terms of big fish acquisitions, James Harden did his massive extension, taking him all the way through 2022. That's what allows the Rockets, as they've said throughout the year, to just hoop. That's what makes it so fun. There's not a lot of off-court drama. And guys like LeBron James, Paul George, there's been a lot of that. They know the circus that follows them, the uncertainty, especially with teams like Cleveland and Indiana and even Oklahoma City to an extent, that have largely either underachieved or been mired in mediocrity. There are obvious questions that come with underachieving teams, not legit contenders, expiring contracts. With the Rockets, of course, the team is a contender in its own right, but beyond that, there's so much stability. James Harden has shown a willingness to do it. Now the Rockets are locking up the head coach who won Coach of the Year last year, renowned or revered around the league as a top five guy, and now have him sewn up for multiple seasons moving forward. GM and CEO are stable. Tillman Fertitta, a new owner, but clearly has a lot of friends around the league, and it's pretty clear that by re-signing Daryl Morey and Tad Brown to their roles, that experience in the front office is a virtue. It's not like the Rockets are starting from ground zero. Everything about the Rockets, from the star player, the MVP in James Harden, to the coach, to the GM, the CEO, it's stability. And for veteran NBA players that have been through a lot of off-court drama and speculation, that sells. And that is the pitch for the Rockets. When you hear Chris Paul and James Harden, you ask them all year long, what makes this team special? And they say, just who? Well, that sounds great. Why doesn't that happen other places? And it's because there are so many other things that get in the mix. A big reason that doesn't happen in Houston is because there's not a lot of stress. There's not a lot of drama. There's a unified vision. The key stakeholders from players, coaches, front office are all bought in. And so when the Rockets position themselves and offer things to this summer, the top free agents, LeBron James, Paul George, or future ones such as Jimmy Butler 2019, that's something that holds a lot of appeal in an NBA where there is so much upheaval. Obviously, it's great for Mike and his wife in particular, just awesome, awesome people. Happy to see him get rewarded. We're all financially motivated. That's great. But as far as takeaways from the well-earned extension or the option year being picked up, the Rockets know what they're doing, especially putting out this storyline right before free agency. they are selling that it's a stable organization, that if you come here, you know what you're going to get. It's not going to be drama. You're not going to have a lot of speculation. They're just looking to go out there and play basketball. And hopefully, for one of the big fish, that will be enough. Will it be? I know you're sick of me saying this by now, but stay tuned. So with that, we can wrap up today's show, I believe. This is the time of year where I know it's very possible I could upload this episode and it could be outdated within minutes. So if that's the case, I apologize and just stay tuned with us here at Locked On Rockets because we'll certainly have an update as soon as possible. That's why I always urge you, if you have not done yet, to subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your podcast. You should be able to find this because we're part of Locked On Podcast Network, which has shows across the NBA and NFL, even some MLB as well. But that makes it easy to find us. And if you subscribe to us, that's how, when there's breaking news, you'll get alerts right when the episode comes out. And in addition to that, if you'd be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review, then that's how we remain financially viable and look attractive to potential advertisers, which makes the business model work for us here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Final plugs. Want more content in the interim? Because there's going to be a lot of breaking news over the next few days, I would suspect. Twitter is the best place to get it. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. That's my name. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. We've also got a Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website at LockedOnRockets.com, and an email address at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All ways that you can access our content, get breaking news, ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries. Anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the Rockets fan, or even you, the human being, don't hesitate to reach out. Would love to hear from you. So for tonight, I'll sign off. One final time, I am recording this at about 7 p.m. Wednesday night. I'm saying this because if you're listening to it later than that and there's been some news, then if it came out after 7 p.m. Wednesday night, you'll have to wait for our next episode. So until then, I will sign off. Thanks as always for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.